Good evening. Before we begin, a disclaimer and a warning for tonight's episode. Tonight's broadcast may be unsuitable for children, adults, and living creatures.
Listener's discretion is advised.
I've been keeping my ear to the streets. The UK
worldwide leader in entertainment. This is the VOC Nation Radio Network.
Joey Stubbs. What's going on, Joey?
You know, for somebody who makes his living on radio, you have a hard time stringing together words. You all right?
I was trying to make a point. I'm using football as a soliloquy.
You really have a way with words.
Ratboy didn't even want to call in last week since you weren't here, so.
And the very first person that was ever in the ring was an amateur. It's Andy Kaufman.
Andy Kaufman was not an NCAA champ.
Oh my God.
I am heartbroken. I don't know why you're laughing.
Albert, you're a freeloader.
It's buzzed around the world. Twitter blew up. Facebook blew up.
It's the mouth of the South, Jimmy Hart. What's going on, Jimmy?
Well, you never know. Telephone, telegraph, and tell the mouth of the South, Jimmy Hart, we're full of all kind of surprises.
This is a honky-tonk man, the greatest intercontinental champion of all time in the WWE, and you're listening to VOC Nation.
You know why you don't want me on your radio show? Because you know the ratings will go through the roof, you make a lot of money, and that way you keep me off, that way you will stay always broken.
VOC Nation Radio Network worldwide at VOCNation.com. Of course, the voice of choice here live on a Wednesday night, and hopefully you listen to this show live. We're here every Wednesday, 9:30 Eastern Time. And listen, there's a ton of podcasts out there these days, and we certainly hope that you go and you visit our podcast and you download it either on iTunes or Stitcher or wherever you get your podcast. Listen to it however you want. But I like when you listen live because I like to interact with the fans. We are one of the few out there that takes your calls, and we value your opinions each and every Wednesday night. This is Wrestling with History, and I'm here solo, so I'm looking for you tonight. And you can get to the show, I'll tell you now, and I'll tell you later again. It's 657-383-1666. That is the way to get to this program, 657-383-1666. Tonight we're going to be talking about the best tag teams in wrestling history. And when I say wrestling history, I'm mostly talking about WWE and WCW. This program mostly focuses on the classic eras of those two promotions. So tonight, to help me talk about the best tag teams in history, he's part of a couple of really great tag teams, in my opinion. I'm going to have Dr. Tom Pritchard, my buddy, join us in just a little bit. Tom Pritchard, I made a little joke last week, and I think it's funny anyway. I was the original Bruce that talked wrestling on the radio, and Tom is the original Pritchard in wrestling. So together, I think we're some version of the original Bruce Pritchard. Does that make sense? No, it doesn't make sense. Of course not. But Tom Pritchard will be joining us a little later in the program. And I'm excited. I've been excited for a little while to do this tag team show. We've done the best wrestler in history, WWE, WCW. We did the best factions. We've done a few of these best ever, and I go to some websites that do some ranking of these things. I'm not going to tell you the site that I'm using today until the end of the show, because what you'll do is you'll skip ahead and you'll go and look at the list, and when you call me, you'll have the answers already keyed up, and you'll make me give away a fantastic prize for no reason at all, for no effort on your part. So I'm going to go through in the first part of the show, we're going to talk WWE because I have Dr. Tom coming on right after the first break. And I'm looking at, again, a very interesting list. Remember, on the WWE list and the WCW list, the greatest of all time happened to be the Macho Man, Randy Savage. And a lot of people were surprised because you think about people like The Rock. You think about Stone Cold Steve Austin. You think about Hulk Hogan. You think about Ric Flair. But Randy Savage beat everybody, and that was surprising. So I'm looking at this site, and the top tag team of all time is somebody – it's a team that I actually don't mind being up there. There's a whole lot of teams that are very deserving. There's some on this list that aren't. So So we'll talk about this list, and I'm going to read down. I'm going to start at 25, and I'm going to read down a little bit, and then I'll ask you to help me fill in the blanks. So not only can you get to the show by dialing live, and I'm going to take your calls and sprinkle them in throughout the show, but you can also tweet me, at BruceVOC. Some people don't like to talk in this day and age. This is the era of text messaging, but I want to hear from you. That's how we keep this thing interactive. So 657-383-1666. You know, if you're new to the program, if you're new to VOC Nation, I was off the air. I was the founder of VOC Nation. I came from sports radio in Philadelphia. I did that for a good number of years. I had a great time doing that. And then I saw the movement to the cloud, so to speak, the movement to the internet. And we started VOC Nation in 2011, had live programming almost 7 days a week. I left for 5 years and I came back. I'm all juiced up. And I have to work with all this new technology now, but I still like to hear from the people. I still like to take your calls, but you can tweet me if you want, at BruceVOC. Since we've been back on this show, Wrestling with History, we've had over 2,000 people that have come across the broadcast. Very, very excited about that, because it's not easy to get started and to get a following again, especially in this genre, because there's so much activity. There's so many shows out there that focus on professional wrestling. So the best tag teams in history is what we're talking about tonight. Here we go. Number 25 is Show Miz. So that is the Big Show and the Miz. They were active a few years ago. I'm not sure if that team is ahead of some of the other teams that I see farther down on the list. Now, Nasty Boys are one of those teams. The Powers of Pain are farther down on the list. New Day is farther down on the list. But Show Miz makes the list at number 25. Number 24, you got to go all the way back to the early 80s for the Fabulous Freebirds, because they were only in the WWF a short time. 23, Money Incorporated. 22 is Team Hell No. You just saw that special on the WWE Network. 21 is The Natural Disasters, Earthquake and Typhoon. And number 20, Afa and Sika, the Wild Samoans. I want to hear from you on what is in the top 20. I want to hear about your favorite teams. We'll talk to Dr. Tom in a little bit. I'm going to kick off the show going out to the West Coast, and I'm going to talk to my buddy Malcolm. Malcolm, you are in the VOC Nation Radio Network. What's up, man?
Hey, Bruce. I'm going to take a guess on who you would have number one. I'm going to say the Road Warriors, Animal and Heart, Precious Paul Ellering.
All right.
To me, they're
Malcolm,
the most
that is a great guess. Great guess. They are number three on the list. The Legion of Doom, number three on the list of the top 20. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, it is. I would expect them number one, because nobody was as dominant as Animal and Hawk.
Here's the thing. So Animal and Hawk were very dominant, but weren't most of their dominant days out in the NWA or WCW?
And they were in the AWA, too, for a while.
They were. So is it because you think that this is a WWE or WWF-focused list and Animal and Hawk had – they had a couple good runs in WWE, but most of their best work was done outside of it. Maybe that's why they're number three?
Well, I'm thinking, yeah, you're probably right. NWA would probably be number one. WWF, number three is a good pick for them, because they took everybody they had to face. I mean, they took on, wasn't it a tag team, Paul Roma and Hercules Hernandez? Weren't they a team like in the early 90s? I forget the name.
Power
of
and
them.
Glory.
And then Power and Glory.
Power,
yeah.
And Glory.
And then the Nasty Boys. They faced the Nasty Boys. They faced Demolition. You know, when Demolition turned bad and Crush came in. You know. But
who's your favorite tag team, Malcolm? Who's your favorite team?
My favorite tag team is not just one tag team. It would be a feud between two tag teams back in 85, 86. It would be the British Bulldogs and the Hart Foundation. To me, that was just a classic. Every match they had, and Jimmy Hart was out there with the megaphone, it was just classic mat action to me for a tag team.
That's my good buddy, the Mouth of the South, Jimmy Hart, friend of the VOC Nation. Now, by the way, Malcolm, you'll want to know this. The Hart Foundation, number 2 on the list of the top 20. Yeah, and the British Bulldogs, number 10.
Oh, that's okay. I'll take that. They're in the top 10. That's all right.
So, very good.
I just want to announce, Bruce, I need to make this announcement, if you don't mind. For years.
You're making an announcement.
For years since I left the Army, I've been going to events, meeting wrestlers, meeting celebrities at Hollywood shows, and taking a lot of, you know, static from people. Well, I'm kind of doing what you did when you left the radio show. I'm not leaving your show, Bruce, but I'm just really getting tired of the attitudes today from fans and the disrespect they show to wrestlers today, like Alexa Bliss and Bret Hart. Now, I'm supposed to go to Big Time Wrestling this weekend, but I'm having a stipulation in the courtroom, and I haven't even told Kirk this, but I can't make the show this weekend. I'm going to send my best to Bret Hart and try to call him on that night, tell him I'm sorry. But I'm going to start slowing down. I'm 55 in. I still want to meet the wrestlers and everything, but me and my brother have been talking about moving maybe near my sister in Texas. By the way, my niece just had a baby girl, and I'm really happy for her. You know?
Well, congratulations, Malcolm. Very good.
Yeah, I just think that I want to focus more on my life, you know, and concentrate on the things I want to do for a little bit. And one thing I want to do, you know, Bruce, you know, you always tell me that, you know, the last 2 weeks you told me that, you know, because I said David Arquette is, you know, you're still my best friend. I've known you since May 2011 when I first met you, and nobody will ever take that away from me. And, Bruce, I just want you to know that if I ever become a really famous actor and I have a chance to win an Academy Award, I want you at my table. I may have you present, you know, introduce me to get the award. I'm serious. I'm that serious about this.
Well, Malcolm, I appreciate that more than you can know. I'm going to put you on hold for a little bit. I got Dr. Tom coming up. I got to take a break. But you hang in there, and we'll come back to you a little bit later. Love, Malcolm. Malcolm's been a longtime fan. He's been with me since my days at WNJC Philadelphia. He's been with us all the way through the network. He's very loyal, calls into all the shows. One of my favorite people on the earth, Malcolm Wildman. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back with Dr. Tom on the other side. Hopefully we come back with you, 657-383-1666. Tweet me, at Bruce VOC. I monitor that. I don't monitor the network tweets, but you can tweet the network at VOC Nation. We're going to take a break. We'll come back, and we'll talk to Dr. Tom. This is Wrestling with History Worldwide at VOCNation.com.
Live from the In the Room studios, this is the VOC Nation Radio Network.
This is Samoa Joe, and you're listening to the VOC Nation.
The worldwide leader in entertainment. This is the VOC Nation Radio Network.
The VOC Wrestling Nation Worldwide at VOCNation.com. Joey Styles is taking terminology from this show, and he is sending it back to the WWE.
Well, I will make sure when I say worldwide going forward that I include VOC Nation.
Voice of Choice Wrestling Nation.
Heard worldwide.
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 Worldwide, baby.
Worldwide, man.
Worldwide.
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 En el mundo todo.
Worldwide.
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 Worldwide. Worldwide. On VOCNation.com.
This is a phenomenal one. AJ South.
Finn Bogey. The artist formerly known as Kazan.
This is Eugene.
Hey, this is Chris
Jericho. This is Sci-Fi's original vampire, Kevin Thorne.
Hey guys, this is Serena Deeb.
This is Madison Rayne.
This is A-Double Austin Aries, the hardcore icon. Incredible.
Hey, this is Olympic gold medalist and TNA superstar, Kurt Angle.
You are listening to In the Room.
The best talk show that you can hear.
Tuesday night, 9-8 Central, VOCNation.com, TheBradyHicks.com. Breaking down all that's going on in wrestling today.
Looking for a DJ? Looking for someone to host your event? Then look no further.
Philadelphia's hottest DJ and host, The Voice of Choice. The Voice of Choice has hosted the hottest events in the tri-state area. Book The Voice of Choice for all your karaoke, conventions, and parties. Go to www.vocnation.com for more information.
Welcome, WCW Retro.
WCW Retro. WCW Retro.
The Maestro of Wrestling. We live the memories with us, good, bad, or indifferent, for WCW Retro. We'll have a different topic every show.
WCW Retro.
Right here on the VOC Nation Radio Network.
The most polarizing personalities worldwide. This is the VOC Nation Radio Network.
VOC Nation Radio Network. This is Wrestling with History. We're live every Wednesday night, 9:30 Eastern Time. Today we're talking about the best tag teams in history. But I have a very special guest that we promised this week. He is probably one of the best trainers, if not the best trainer in professional wrestling history. For many years, he was affectionately called the head coach of the WWE, and he had something to do during the break, but I think he's back and ready with us. Got with me Dr. Tom Pritchard. What's going on, Dr. Tom?
Bruce, I am more than ready to be with you. How are you is the question. I am doing great.
Yeah, it's awesome. You know, I keep making this joke that I was the original Bruce of wrestling radio, and you're the original Pritchard. So together we're like the original Bruce Pritchard. Is that stupid or what?
Well, stupid maybe, but accurate, yes. Yeah. So, I don't think Bruce was actually on the radio right now. I think he's just doing the podcast. So anyway, I think you're still the first Bruce. You'll always be the first. You can just nobody else can be first. They can always be next, right?
There you go. Well, you had a lot of nexts in your career. You can talk as much as you want. This is your spot. You had a lot of next in your career. You were the head coach of the WWE for quite a while, and you got to see all of the talent as it kind of was coming through the wings. I want to know, first and foremost, what's the difference? So you were there for a number of years. You see what's going on today. How has the WWE's facilities for growing and training talent changed over the years?
Oh my gosh, we started in the warehouse of the TV studio, and they have a complete performance center with a working studio, full gym, locker rooms. I mean, it is first class, like an NFL combine almost, or an NFL training center. Performance center is pretty much it. So the WWE has done a great job, and I'll give it to Hunter. He's done a great job in really evolving the developmental system. It first started in 1996, and we're in the year 2019. So, I mean, it's had a lot of years and a lot of room to develop. So I think just the fact that everybody has come to the realization that there does need to be a place where everything is centralized and at their fingertips to learn not only how to wrestle, but how to cut promos, how to lift the right way, how to be in condition, how to be functional in the ring. And by doing that, they realized, you can have two or three guys who have a clue or have an idea. But when you go around the world and get the very best everywhere you can find, I think that's the key, and that's what they're doing now. That's how it's all changed. You know, it was basically the power plant was in Atlanta, and WWE didn't have anything like that. And they figured out, well, they better get on the ball. So they did, and they never stopped. They just kept going and continued to keep going and getting better and better, going all over the world with ideas and plans to put performance centers in England, which they have, and in China, and the Saudi Arabia. I mean, my God, you know, they are a monster global company, and they will not stop.
Well, and in many ways, I mean, they've turned it into a brand. They've turned their training center into a brand. And some people could say that it's one of the most popular brands in wrestling. NXT, they really give those guys a showcase. And I hear rumors that they'll get national television coming up in the fall as WWE does their best to stave off the upstart AEW. So is that something that you ever thought would happen when you were working in the training center? Did you ever think it would become a brand of its own?
Well, actually, when we started FCW, I remember the first TV we did. Kevin Dunn came down. Hunter came down. Vince didn't come down, but Hunter, Kevin Dunn, a few other dignitaries came down and said, you know, we can even see this evolving into another brand. So, yeah, that has been said before about other developmental territories. But the thing that makes NXT so different, you have to realize the culture in the company has changed. The way they think about developmental has changed. In the beginning, it wasn't... for instance, if we had a Harley Race, and this happened, we had Harley Race come in to FCW and talk to the guys, and we were running a show that night, and we wanted to advertise that Harley would be there. Well, the office says, no, you can't advertise Harley being there. Well, now, wait a minute, why? And we never got an answer. Now, were you trying to sabotage FCW? Were you trying to stop us from being successful? I don't know. But, I mean, the brand thing, I can see that because NXT has some talented individuals. Another culture change along the years was we weren't looking at – well, I take that back. We were looking, but we weren't really looking to sign any independent talent. Didn't want them. Had bad habits. Didn't want to bring that to the status of WWE, if you will. Now it's completely opposite. They're going after all the hotshot indie guys or indie darlings, whatever you say. And that's a good thing because there's some talented guys out there. So, I did. And with the talent available today for the fans who enjoy and have their niche wrestling, because for it to be a brand, you have to have your audience. And obviously there is an audience for not only old school wrestling with MLW and things like that, but you have your AEWs and you have your NXTs. So not everybody likes the same thing, and that's a good thing. That's good to be able to give everyone a variety. And you know, some people like Brussels sprouts, others like the like carrots, you know, so have your pick. Yeah, and it's great to have a brand like that. It's great to say, hey, we can look at this, we can turn this on, and we're going to get the hungry guys, we're going to get the, you know, it's like minor league baseball teams. They may not have a TV show, but by God, they'll, El Paso has the El Paso Chihuahuas. Here in Knoxville, we have the Smokies, you know. It's like, and fans will come out to see it. Because it has a different flavor to it, and you can tell the passion and the hunger is still there.
Now, one of the things you mentioned AEW, and one of the things that fans and AEW people have talked about a lot is that they're going with unscripted promos. They're going back to the old days of wrestling where it's bullet points, and they're going to go out there and tell a story. When did that start to change, Dr. Tom? You were working in developmental. Did that start to change when you were there, where they went full script and Hollywood style?
No. Well, I take that. It did start to change there, but it wasn't fully in circulation, if you will, where they were just doing straight scripted promos. I think why and when that really started to change is when everything like WCW was no more and it was pretty much just WWE as your main course menu. And I think that happened because when you're doing 5 hours of live TV a week, you can't always trust or depend on someone to go out there and cut a promo if they're not great at cutting promos or they haven't had that experience. The problem I see with it, now I'm an old school guy. And I do believe that you should be authentic. I believe when you cut a promo, it should come from you. I don't think anybody can write for just anybody else. You have to know the person. If you're going to write for them, you have to help them. You have to give them your ideas of how you came up with this scripted page. And one of the guys, a couple of guys can do it, you know, like The Rock would have ideas on the page, but he's that class act. He's that one of a kind, and some guys can do it because they're just, they know, and it's instinctive. If you're going to have guys who have never cut promos anywhere but on the indies, and then you have guys who don't know necessarily when somebody's cut a promo, I've been so guilty of it myself. You're starting to tell a story, and you get into the story, and you're 30 seconds deep, realizing you're not even halfway through your story promo that you got, and this big crescendo has to end in another 30 seconds, and you get lost. See, that's the problem. You know, a lot of guys don't understand how to tell a story to the point, get it across, and people understand that. A lot of guys have to tell the stories with every word in it, and that's the problem I think you're going to find with some guys. Maybe not. It might surprise us.
Yeah, I guess you're working a lot with time on TV, especially live TV these days. So it's not like the old days in the 80s. You could go back, and your brother talks about it a lot on his show. They would go back and they would edit the promos, and they'd do a ton of editing. Now it's all live, so they have to be really, really specific with time. Is that... You think that's part of what goes into the thought process?
I think that's a huge part of it, why it's scripted, because, like I said, you give the guys the bullet points. Well, then they have, hey, I got this great story about the time, you know, my father told me I had to go behind the barn and shoot that old dog. I love that dog, but I shot him. I put him out of his misery, and that's what I'm going to do to Gene Kaninsky. He reminds me of our old dog. He's had his time, and I'm going to put you out of your misery. It's Friday, anyway, you know what I mean. So, nobody has really grew up with that. Nobody's seen it or heard it in real time. You can go back on YouTube watching it. It looks so archaic and ancient and just, my goodness. Not that it could travel that well from 1975 to 2019 and still be relevant. But at the same time, I think storytelling is storytelling. If you know how to tell it and you know how to put the inflections in your voice and you know how to make it interesting and have people gravitate and listen to your words and be entertained, well, then that's a gift. And that's, I don't know how many people these days have it. I know there's some. MJF is one of the guys that I'm really big on. He's a very talented guy, and I don't think they script everything for him. He seems like a natural. So, yeah, I think timing on TV has a lot to do with, the majority to do with, why they're scripted.
Now, you're still training today, and obviously fans can go and they can visit jpwrestlingacademy.com. That's the Jacobs Pritchard Wrestling Academy. Who are some of the people that are your prize students over the years? I mean, I think The Rock is famously trained by you, and there was those vignettes on TV that showed you training The Rock. But who else? Who else has come through the
Gosh, Mark Henry. Mark Henry was in there as well, that very first class, along with Occam Albrecht, a.k.a. Brockus. But after that, it was my gosh, anybody that came after those guys and you saw a new talent pretty much came through the studio or OVW first before they got on TV. So, I mean, there's so many. Edge and Christian were already training with Ron Hutchison in Canada. So, I mean, I didn't give them their very first ring experience, if you will, but they got seasoned up in the studio, and then they went straight to TV. Some of those guys, the Hardy Boys, have been working since they were, my gosh, 12, 13 years old, and in their backyard on trampolines and stuff, but they came for a tryout in the studio, and they had been doing jobs on TV for WWE for years, and the guys liked them because they could bump and they could move and they were good kids, but they came through, man. I mean, there's just so many. Sheamus, who came from Europe, came to FCW. Sean Spears, just saw Sean Saturday or Sunday night here in Knoxville, actually. And my God, Heath Slater. Let me talk about, yeah, Juice Robinson. I'm trying to think of the guys who put on the wall. Rusev. Rusev came from the Samoans, came from Rikishi, but before he started, he went to FCW and got polished up. So pretty much up until my relief of service in 2012, anybody that went to the main roster came through developmental first, unless they were a top name and just ready to go in for a program. So that's been a real cool part. And this thing we've started here in Knoxville just began in January. So we're only 8 months old, and we already have some guys that look pretty promising. We have the mama's boy, Jake Tucker. His real name is Mitch LaValle, and he came here to train with us. So far has been a top student, top graduate for us, and he's getting some matches around East Tennessee right now. And we have another guy down here named Dylan McQueen. You have Haley Jones. You have Kenzie Henry. Some of these guys around here, I mean, I've just been so impressed with their passion and dedication, and that's really what it takes. There's no guarantees in show business. There's no guarantees in wrestling, and you have to have passion, dedication, patience, drive, and all those things combined, and along with an ability to perform, show off, and talk.
Sure. Yeah, it's a lot of life, Tom, comes down to the four P's: passion, purpose, perseverance, and persistence. I mean, everything is kind of boils down to that. You got to know your passion, and you got to chase after it hard, and accept failure. You're going to have a few bumps in the road, and people that run home, it's probably not for you.
Yeah, exactly. And so far, we've experienced every bit of that. We've had the passion, we've had the perseverance, we've had the failure, we've had the, you're going to experience, and that's really all part of life. So, happy to be here to help train these guys get where they want to be.
And you're down there with Glenn Jacobs. A lot of people know him, or almost everybody knows him, as Kane. So you got two world-class talents that are down there training the next crop of performers. And are you affiliated, or do you have aspirations to send a talent flow into either AEW or MLW or WWE or something
Certainly.
Like that?
Yeah, by all means. Look, I think the climate of the business today is one that says it doesn't matter. We really don't have any borders or barriers. If you want to come work for us, I mean, Billy Gunn is a coach for AEW, yet he went and accepted his Hall of Fame ring, and rightfully so. Mm-hmm. But I think there's really no borders, and I think I don't see a war coming anytime soon, even though AEW is going to give it a good shot, and they're going to have a great show, no doubt. And I don't know what it's going to take to sustain. I'm rooting for those guys. I really am, because I think it is beneficial to everyone to have more places to work. But yeah, if anyone wants to or gets the opportunity, and we want everyone to have an opportunity, because here's the deal. If you're going to open up a wrestling school, what are you really opening up? What are you really telling people? You can't promise anything. You can't say, hey, I can promise you I'll get you a look. You can't say that, because that's false and it's misrepresentation. But you can do everything in your power to give them the tools to be able to be looked at. And if the opportunity arises, I just got an email today from a guy in right outside of South Carolina.
Georgia.
Yeah.
Oh, South Carolina.
No, it's South Carolina. I'm sorry.
South Carolina. Yep.
Yes.
Thinking about the exit off 95.
Yeah, no worries. But he asked me if I had any guys that I'd be interested in maybe sending there to help develop, or he's trying to build a roster of girls, and he just got their book. I don't know him, but I looked at his page. So of course we're open to work with anybody, as long as they're reputable, as long as they're going to take care of the guys that we send. What I mean by taking care of, don't put them in the ring with an an idiot who doesn't understand this is their first match or one of their first matches, and you need to have patience there, and you need to help these guys learn, because you don't want to just send somebody to a bad place and have a bad experience. So, by all means, if WWE, I mean, Glenn's still under contract. I mean, I think we have a few connections. I heard my brother is in there somewhere doing something. I don't know. So,
right.
Yes, of course. But we can't say, hey, guys, if you come here, this is what's going to happen, because we don't know what's going to happen. And we can't promise this. And we don't force our hand. We don't use – we try not to use anything unless it's there. You know what I mean? We're not going to say, hey, how about you look at these guys? And unless they say, hey, is there anybody you'd like us to look at? And we'd rather have it that way, because this way everybody's on the same page, and you get a chance to go and get in the ring, and you have that first tryout under your belt. Whether you get hired or not, the great thing is it took Natty Neidhart 6 tryouts. Now, 6 times she went, 6 times she was told no. On the 7th attempt, she got hired. Now, that's Natty Neidhart, who comes from a wrestling family, who understands the business, who had connections, who understood and went to Stu Hart's dungeon and wrestled in the ring in the Stampede,
Sure.
But, you know, those things happen, and you're talking about failure. That's all part of this process to get where you want to be. And so... yeah, we will definitely give them the chance to succeed and fail.
Now, you mentioned in the course of that bite, your brother, he's back in the WWE mix, and he's obviously had some failure along the way. You know, he left a couple times, came back. What do you think about the bringing back Bruce Pritchard, Eric Bischoff, and Paul Heyman? How do you think that they'll influence that product? Do you think that'll be a positive move for ratings?
I don't know about ratings, because, you know, old people watch TV. Young kids today watch their devices and watch on demand. They don't watch it when necessarily it's going on. So I don't know how that's really affecting ratings these days, but I do know that the TV watching of today is certainly nothing like it was 30 years ago, much less 15 or 20 years ago. So I think the positivity will come, and it's all in – I hate to say this, but it's all in cycles anyway, too. Something's going to get hot. Somebody will come along, and it'll get hot, but you have to have everything in place. You have to have the talent. You have to have the vehicle, and you have to have that – attention of the audience that you're looking for. I mean, who are you marketing to? And obviously NXT has their niche. You have WWE with their niche, AEW with theirs. And it's the people around you, because once you're in that environment, you really do become in a bubble, because you are in that environment pretty much 24/7. Even when you go home, you're still on. You'll accept calls at 2 a.m, 3 a.m, or you won't. And if you don't, then you won't be there much longer, because that's just the way it is. That's the way the business is. It is a global company. It is a huge corporation, and they need people there who understand what got them successful before. And Bruce was part of the team that was a huge success before. He was around during that boom era. Bischoff knows what it's like to compete. Hell, Paul Heyman is Paul Heyman. He is incredible. So, yeah, I think it's nothing but positive. And I do believe that once everything kicks into gear, and, of course, the network's a big help, too. They will find their way. WWE will be a success. They will be a moneymaker regardless. They are so entrenched. The interesting thing to me is to look and see how far AEW gets in the first 6 months. I'm just very curious, because they do have some innovative people there, but they're kind of sailing into something they've never really done before, which is great. It's exciting. It's new, and it's intriguing to watch.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Who got who into wrestling, Dr. Tom? Is it you, or is it, or was the, did Bruce get you into wrestling, or did you get Bruce into wrestling, or did you both kind of take the same journey?
Well, we both pretty much took the same journey. I'm older than he is, like by 5 years, I believe. And we started watching, gosh, I started watching first, obviously, and then we just watched every Saturday afternoon in El Paso. We have three older brothers, and they would watch wrestling in the afternoon just because, you know, it was a cool looking show and there was nothing else on. Plus there were only three channels back then. So one of the channels had wrestling on, and I'd watch it. And then of course, when Bruce came along, it was cool. He watched it. And then when we moved from El Paso to Houston, our mom took us to, the matches every Friday night. They were cheap tickets. It was a way for her to get out of the house too, I think. And so we both kind of grew up on it and both watched the same stuff. And I worked in the office first, and Bruce, when I started wrestling, Bruce came right behind me. Was doing the same thing, only he really adapted to it. He really had the confidence and the moxie to get in there and do the real heavy lifting in the office, if you will. I mean, he was not, you know, he, of course he wanted to wrestle too, but he had bad knees from playing football. So he just really dedicated himself to making it a point to learn everything there is to learn on the other side of the table. And that's where the magic happens, actually.
Well, if you think about it, such a talented family, and you guys together in very different ways influenced a lot of what you see with the talent all throughout the years. You with training some of the talent, and him with producing the talent. So I just think it's an amazing story from a family of wrestling. So that's really cool, Tom.
Yeah, it was really cool. It really, really was, because not knowing it at the time, just have to say this, because we grew up in West Texas. I grew up in West Texas and for 10 years, and the Funks were just starting, and they started in West Texas. I was growing up about the time Dory won the world championship. And then when we moved to Houston, we started watching Paul Bosch's wrestling, Houston wrestling, and all these top names were coming through. We were seeing some incredible matches, and what really made it so incredible was back then in the 60s and 70s, you know, it was still real, and people will fight you if you said it wasn't. So these guys, Johnny Valentine, Wahoo McDaniel, Terry Funk, Dory Funk, Jose Lothario, my gosh, the rest of the guys that went through Texas all made it real. They believed, and when they walked to the ring, they made you believe. And that's still the key to what we do. Everybody knows it is what it is, but at the same time, when you go to the arena, you don't want to be told, hey, we're going to go out later on, have a great time, you want to come with us? You know what I mean? You want to make it real. You want to be authentic. And I think that's one of the things that's missing today, is some of the mystery and some of the, you know, belief that, hey,
kayfabe.
We can make this look better. Huh?
Kayfabe.
The what?
Right?
Kayfabe?
Kayfabe.
Well, yeah.
Kayfabe is gone.
It's gone. It's gone. But at the same time, it really doesn't have to be. And when I'm by kayfabe, it just means not letting everybody in on who you really are. John Moxley is one of the best at doing that, because he is crazy like a fox, but he'll never break character completely. He'll talk to you as straightforward as he has to, and then he won't give you any added information unless you just ask him or pry it out of him. Even then, you're not sure. And that's what makes a great performer in this business, in my opinion, where people are not sure about you, and they're always either on edge, Well, I'm talking about a character like Moxley now is what I'm trying to say. Someone like that who he's not just playing a part, or is he? And you have that question. You know, is he just playing a part or not? And too many guys are letting you in on the secret. Hey, I'm just playing a part. I'm not really this guy. I'm this guy. And you don't want to do that, man. I mean, it's a tricky thing this day to try and put that in the curriculum, if you will. But at the same time, I think it's necessary because when you're out there in the ring or when you're even out with, in public and people see you and they know who you are, they want to be mesmerized. They want to have stars in their eyes. They want to be treated special, not be a complete jerk, but treated like you're somebody special. And that's something I believe they're teaching in the Performance Center and something that some of the guys, a lot of the guys on Raw and SmackDown, need to keep in mind.
I know a lot of the indie wrestlers listen to this show. Wise words from Dr. Tom Pritchard, one of the all-time greats coming up in this world of professional wrestling. Again, jpwrestlingacademy.com. Learn all about Glenn Jacobs and Dr. Tom's training center down there in Knoxville, Tennessee. For Dr. Tom, people can follow you on Twitter at Dr. Tom Pritchard. Not, don't spell out doctor, though. It's Dr. Tom Pritchard, and you're a good follow. And listen, I love talking to you. It's obviously been a while. I was retired from radio for 5 years, so I really appreciate you coming back on with me and hanging out today.
Oh, Bruce, do it anytime. I really appreciate it as well, man. I love talking to you, especially about the old school wrestling.
Yeah, this is Wrestling with History. We don't bitch about the current product like a lot of the other shows do. So
yeah,
I have
it does
a lot
you
of
no
fun
good.
Doing this.
Yeah.
Exactly. All right, Dr. Tom, thank you so much. I will talk to you again next time. Let's stay in touch.
Sounds great, Bruce. Thanks.
All right. Dr. Tom Pritchard, live on Wrestling with History here in the VOC Nation Radio Network. Listen, we got some time left. We're going till 11 o'clock Eastern time tonight. If you want to get to the show, you can come on and talk some tag team wrestling with me up until 11 o'clock. 657-383-1666. That is the number to get in. 657-383-1666. Going to take a break. I'll come back on the other side and talk tag teams with you. This is Wrestling with History Worldwide in the VOC Nation Radio Network.
Live from the In the Room studios, this is the VOC Nation Radio Network.
Hey, everyone. It is your favorite knockout, Mickie James, and you're listening to the VOC Nation.
Voice of Choice Wrestling Nation.
Heard worldwide.
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 Worldwide, baby.
Worldwide, man.
Worldwide.
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 On VOCNation.com.
Welcome, WCW Retro.
WCW Retro.
WCW Retro.
The Maestro of Wrestling. Relive the memories with us, good, bad, or indifferent, for WCW Retro. We'll have a different topic every show.
WCW Retro.
Right here on the VOC Nation Radio Network.
Interested in advertising with the VOC Nation Radio Network? Whether on the website or across our syndicated network of podcasts, contact VOCNation.com for advertising information for the possibility to save 40% on what you will spend on an ad.
The most polarizing personalities worldwide. This is the VOC Nation Radio Network.
Are you a fan of classic pro wrestling? Universal Wrestling Archives has a library of over 1,200 hours of pro wrestling action. The largest classic pro wrestling library after the WWE. See stars like Ric Flair, the Junkyard Dog, the Midnight Express, the Rock and Roll Express, Dr. Death Steve Williams, Hacksaw Jim Duggan, the Fabulous Freebirds, and more. UWA provides DVD collections of episodes from Mid-South Wrestling, Power Pro Wrestling, and the Universal Wrestling Federation. There's also a special house show collection featuring rare wrestling footage only seen here. Visit www.universalwrestling.com or find them on Facebook and Twitter.
This is Buggy Nova, your Candyland princess, and I want everyone to know that I love BOCNation.com.
Hey, how's it going? This is Amy Dumas, but you may know me as Lita. You're listening to the VOC Nation.
VOC Nation Radio Network. This is Wrestling with History Worldwide at VOCNation.com. If you're listening live, I want to hear from you. 657-383-1666. You can tweet me at Bruce VOC. You can tweet the network at VOC Nation. Talking today about the best tag teams in wrestling history. And I just talked to one of those wrestlers that was part of a great tag team, Dr. Tom Pritchard. If you missed the interview, go back, check it out on the podcast, wherever you get your podcast, whether that's Apple or Stitcher or Spotify. We're almost everywhere, although I do hate Apple very, very much. So we got down to the top 25 to 20. 19, Los Guerreros, Eddie Guerrero and Chavo Guerrero. This is WWE-centric, by the way. Number 18, The Rock and Sock Connection, The Rock and Mankind. That was an odd couple tag team. I'm surprised. Number 17, The Rockers, far down on the list. The Rockers were a staple in the WWF back in the 80s and into the early 90s before Shawn Michaels' careers kind of skyrocketed and he went off on his own. Number 16, very popular right now, The Usos. Number 15, the Brainbusters, Arn Anderson and Tully Blanchard. Just a short run, but a memorable run with manager Bobby the Brain Heenan. Number 14 was the APA. Number 13, the Bushwhackers, Luke and Butch. Number 12, the New Age Outlaws. And that's where I have a problem with this list. And before I got to Dr. Tom, I cut Malcolm off, and I'm going to give him the rest of his time. So I'm going to go back to California, and I'm going to punch back up Malcolm. Malcolm, what's happening, man?
Bruce, I'm not in California. I'm in Las Vegas, Nevada. I left California last
week. Whatever. You know, I'm working alone today. Yeah. I'm screening the calls by myself.
Whatever.
Yeah, whatever. So, Malcolm, listen. This published list, I'm looking at the top 25 tag teams of all time in the WWE, and I come to number 12, and I see the New Age Outlaws. Now, that's where I have a problem, because these guys belong in the top five.
Somebody. I like those guys. Party DX, they were great.
Yeah, you know, that's, the opening when they would come out to the ring, you didn't know, that was one of my favorites of all time. I mean, you know how many classes I went to in high school? I said, you know how many classes I walked into in high school where I just announced myself like that? Oh, you didn't know?
It's not really cool. I don't know again that next time I see him. I saw it sarcastic.
Yeah.
I thought Billy was mad at me. But Malcolm, that was just kind of a bad day. You're all right, you know. But me and Billy are okay right now. Well, and I know you should have been there at the Holiday Inn in 2010, I think it was. And we were in Fremont. And Kurt White put on the show. And I missed Awesome Kong. And I'm doing the whole COVID voice. And I made Awesome Kong laugh. And then Road Dog goes, Malcolm, man, you just spit on me. I think I'm going to have to take out Malcolm. Fans are laughing. It's really funny. Kirk is laughing. Everybody's laughing. Jake Roberts is laughing. It's really funny. The hardcore Hollywood laughing. Yeah.
So, Malcolm, did I miss something? So you said before Dr. Tom jumped on, did you say that you are no longer going to wrestling conventions? What is the wrestling convention world going to do without your contributions?
Well, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying I'm stepping down for a while. I'm going to concentrate on an acting career for me. I've been doing everything for everybody for years. I'm not saying, Bruce, I wouldn't still do things for you. You're my best friend. You know,
I wouldn't have it any other way.
Yeah, I mean, you've been with me since May of 2011 when you met me, and you and Neymar Wells came out and interviewed me by my car, you know, and I just had a real good, and then I met you at Wrestle Reunion, like, I think I met, did I meet you at Wrestle Reunion in Los Angeles where I was at, where we were at the BTW event in May 2011, because I think that was January 2010 when I first met you and Albert, wasn't it? You guys came out to the side, you talked to me after the whole event was over for the weekend. I think it was on a Sunday.
Yeah, you were carrying on in line out in, we were doing that convention in California with Jimmy Hart and Bill Apter for Big Time Wrestling.
Yeah.
That's the first time that I got my first taste of Malcolmania.
I miss Bill Apter again this year. I miss Bruce Pritchard and Tony Schiavone at StarCast. But I want him to know I'm going to meet him someday, all three of them. Well, I met Bill Apter.
There you go.
You know.
There you go.
Malcolm, listen,
I got to run along. I'm going to put you back on the silent side. Yeah, okay. All right. Hang in there, man. Hang in there. You'll be okay. And you got to take a break from those wrestling conventions anyway. I'm sure they're taking up more of your wallet share than you want it to. Let's go across the coast. I'm going to go to the East Coast. And this is a real treat. Rat Boy, what's up, man? You're in the VOC Nation Radio Network. How's it going?
Put it this way, brother. I saw the list that you're working on, and I don't like it.
I don't like it either.
I don't like the list because you know why?
All the way down to 12. Why?
I know, but I want all the way down on the bottom of the list, and I don't like it. Somebody should be on top of them.
You cheated. You went to the list. You know the website that I'm using. And
yes,
you cheated.
I do.
You're looking at the list.
And I said the Killer Bees all the way. They're doing the best team ever.
The Killer Bees?
The Killer Bees.
Wait a minute. The Killer Bees never won a title. I don't know if they ever won a whole bunch of matches, Rat Boy. The Killer Bees, they were only around for a few years. Now, listen, I'll give you this. In the independent scene, Brian Blair had a long career and a very successful career. But as a tag team, I don't know. Maybe they don't deserve to be at number 66. But I don't know if the Killer Bees are deserving of being in the top 10 or certainly number one. You're crazy.
Well, what is that? There's another team that I really like. I was in a ring with them. Houston Dynamo.
Oh, boy. You know, you guys, you and Malcolm, you guys love to put yourself over.
That's right, because that's why me and Malcolm are a tag team. How come we're not up there?
Oh, boy. Rat Boy, who's your favorite tag team of all time? Is it really the Killer Bees?
No.
I got
two of them. Okay.
All right, give me both.
All right, the ones or the Bushwhackers.
The Bushwhackers, okay. Bushwhackers on the list. They are number 13. 13. Okay.
All right, and this new tag team just came in. I'm getting to like them. The Heavy Machinery.
Heavy Machinery. Yeah, you know, that's entertaining. And so this is a classic show, and I'm the first one to admit I don't watch a lot of the product today. I'm not a current wrestling fan, and I only agreed to do this show again and come back out of my retirement because they said I could talk about classic stuff. And I can talk to my friends of the past, like Jimmy Hart. But, I liked Heavy Machinery. I've seen them a few times on TV. I'm good there.
Yeah, and,
yeah,
you know,
did,
and number 31.
Since you cheated, are they on the list?
I'm going down the list, and there's another one. The New Day is number 31. Come on now.
Yeah, well, that's insane, and I don't understand that because now listen, hold on. They're a faction, right? They're not necessarily a tag team. All three wrestle separately, but right now, what the tag team champions over on SmackDown are Big E and who's the other guy? What's his name? Not Kofi.
Xavier Woods.
Yeah, Xavier Woods. Aren't they the tag team champions on SmackDown?
Yes, and you know that the guy that owns the VOC Nation, Brady Hicks, knows Mr. Woods, him personally.
Oh, he does.
We got to get him on.
He does.
Huh?
My boss, Brady Hicks, knows Xavier Woods.
Yep.
So, but here's the thing, Rap Boy. You know that the WWE restricts us from their talent. So when a talent is under contract in the WWE, unless it's a backstage person, we don't get to talk to them. I have to wait until they get released.
I know.
That's how it works.
I know how it works. You know, whoever's under WWE contract, they come out on the radio, all of a sudden, you would get sued. They would get fired from their job for talking about what's happening behind the scenes. I know everything.
You do. You know everything. You are a man, a wealth of knowledge. I bow to the knowledge that you have.
I know. And I think over the weekend I had a little Facebook spoiler, you know, spoiler, okay?
Okay.
I wish Kathy, Carol Schnicker get well soon so she could walk again because I heard that she broke her leg.
Oh, no. Oh. So she's not doing any Superfly work these days, is she?
No.
Now, Carol Schnicker is a very sweet woman. I love Carol, and you know, we spent a lot of time together back in the day. So best wishes. God bless Carol Schnicker. Rapboy, I got to get to something more important before I let you go. You texted me last week. D'Lo Brown challenged you that you didn't really have a girlfriend, and you sent me I think through Facebook or Twitter or something. You sent me a picture of you and your lovely, and I need your permission so I can put that out on my Twitter feed. So I can show the world that, yes, Rat Boy does have a girlfriend.
Yes.
I can put it out there. And I can tell
you can put it
the
out
world.
There. You could put it out there.
Now, how much did you pay this woman for the night to take this picture with you?
Hang on for a minute. Hang on.
Am I holding?
I have a question for you. How much did I pay you for the picture?
Oh boy,
no.
He's talking to this woman right now. Wait a minute, Rap Boy.
Huh? Now what?
Rap Boy, put this woman on the air. Put her on the air.
No, she don't. You're on the air because you're on a speaker. Go for it.
What's her name? What's her name?
Linda.
Linda. Linda, can you hear the sound of my voice?
Yeah.
Okay. What do you see in this crazy lunatic of a man?
He's stupid.
Yes, he is. You like that? Is that a quality that you look for in a man?
No, I mean, it's just companionship. There's no relationship anymore.
Oh. Now, is this like a physical companionship that you're looking for?
No.
Okay. It's just emotional. You guys sit on the couch together, watch some Netflix or something like that? Is that what
he sits in one chair and I sit in another chair.
So is this like a divorce? Are you guys cohabitating splitting?
Roommate. That's it.
So there's zero sexual energy going on, Linda.
Yep.
Yes, there is sexual energy.
What are you, a psychiatrist?
No, yes, I'm
are you
trying
a psychiatrist?
To find out. Well, I just play one on the radio. All right, put Rat Boy back on the air.
All right, I'm back.
Rat boy, you lied. Yeah. You said that that was your girlfriend. That's your roommate.
Now she's my roommate. We broke up about 2 weeks ago.
Oh, well, why is she living there? That's not a good idea. I did that with my first wife for like 4 years. Not a good idea. You can't bring ladies home when you have somebody cohabitating. It's not cool. That's how you get shot.
Brady, that me and her work good things together, you know?
All right.
I'm trying to save my brother's right. house, and she's here, you know, to help me out.
All right, Rat Boy, you hang in there. I'm going to put you to the side here. He's a real treat. Love hearing from Rat Boy. 657-383-1666. You could tweet me at Bruce VOC. I got some tweets here to talk about teams in the top 100 of WWE tag teams of all time. We might not even get to WCW tag team. I have a tweet here from Star Wars Superfan, and they say the Rock and Roll Express, number 50 on the list. If you remember, the Rock and Roll Express was not in WWE that long. They were just a short time in, I think, the mid-90s, the dead period. Ian Harvey tweets the Dream Team, which is number 53 on the list, the Dream Team of Greg the Hammer Valentine and Brutus Beefcake. And later on, I think Dino Bravo joined that team as well. So, the Dream Team, a good guess for the list. I think they should be higher up. Here's another tweet from Marco. I can't even read this. Marco Cihasahan 1. At a crime time number 77 on the list. Thank you, Marco Ciasan. I think that's how you say your name. And we got one more from SWN Jam 21, Batista and Rey Mysterio. They're down at 79. And I didn't even know that those two were a tag team. So shame on me. That's how much that I know. But that's it's not about me, it's about you. So keep tweeting those answers in. We were getting pad all the way through down to number 1. I got to 12, that's the New Age Outlaws. The Steiner Brothers at number 11. Steiner Brothers had a nice WWE run for a little bit in the early 90s, if I remember right. Malcolm talked about the British Bulldogs at 10. The Mega Powers, number 9, Hulk Hogan and the Macho Man Randy Savage. Number 9 on the list, I don't know, because they were only a tag team for about a year, and of course they're very successful singles wrestlers, but I'm not sure if I would put the Mega Powers up that high, but there they are. Number 8, the Brothers of Destruction, The Undertaker and Kane. Now here's another one that I think I have a problem with. Demolition is number 7, and as a kid, I thought Demolition was just the greatest tag team that I saw. And I didn't, you know, I was a WWF guy. That's what I watched. I started watching wrestling in the mid-80s, I guess. And Demolition was the WWF's version of the Road Warriors. But I didn't really know about the Road Warriors at that time. So I was a big fan of Demolition, even when they were heels. Axe and Smash, tag team champions for a while. I think they deserve to be higher than number 7. Number 6, the Dudley Boys. They could be higher, but you're starting to get into that top part of the list, and it's very hard. Not everybody can be number 1. Number 5, Edge and Christian. Number 4, D-Generation X. Number 3, as we I think we talked about earlier, the Legion of Doom. Number 2, Malcolm mentioned the Hart Foundation. And the number 1 tag team of all time, as voted by the people on Ranker.com, the Hardy Boys, Jeff and Matt. And I have to agree with that, only because they had a lot of longevity. They transformed the business. They were one of the first high-flying acts in terms of just being over the top with spots, and a very entertaining tag team, Matt and Jeff, the Hardy Boys. But, you know, keep the tweets coming in. I'll keep reading them. We'll go into the WCW version. Got another tweet here from FWQ. It says the bar. Let's see on this list. number 38. And, of course, the bar is Sheamus and Cesaro. Another tweet coming in from Big Daddy Cool 492 that said the Von Erichs, I think I mentioned before, maybe I didn't, but the Von Erichs at number 42. And they didn't spend a whole lot of time in WWF, I guess, maybe back in the very early 80s. So WWF list is complete. The greatest tag teams of all time. I'm going to put my focus on WCW, and I'm going to take another call at 657-383-1666. I'm going to go, we went West Coast, we went East Coast. I'm going to go right in the middle to Tennessee and my darling Patty. Patty, you're in the VOC Nation Radio Network. What's happening, Patty?
Hi.
Hi.
Sorry I'm late, but I made it.
Oh, well, Patty, you know, last week you called me right when I was going off the air.
Yeah, I just got stuck up, hung up somewhere and wasn't able to call sooner.
Well, you made my day. You made my week. I love hearing from you, Patty.
Yeah, glad I was able to get through. Last week I kept calling and line was busy.
Oh,
Yeah,
well, we have we're a popular program, Patty. You know, since we came back, 2,000 listeners. Now, isn't that nuts to come back and feel the love right away? I'm very excited.
Yeah.
We're what, eight weeks back on the air since I came back to the network that I created, Patty. I created. And you've been with me, so you started calling when I was on AM radio.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And
all
it's
right,
always
Patty,
been fun. It's always been fun being able to get on.
Now, you're not drinking right now, are you, Patty? You don't drink before you call the show, do you? All right.
Nah.
I'm just asking. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. All
well,
right, Patty, who's
you
your
can
favorite
always have
tag
fun
team
without
of-
drinking.
You can. I believe it. I'm a good Christian good Christian boy. I don't drink hardly ever. So, yeah. What's your what's your favorite tag team of all time? Give me WWF. I went through the list already, and then I want you to give me WCW.
Yeah.
Favorite tag teams of all time?
Gotta be the Hart Foundation.
Hart Foundation number two
watching
on the list.
Yeah,
you know, Patty,
the Hart Foundation.
I will tell you this. My first guest ever in radio, well, wrestling radio anyway, because I did sports radio for a long time too. My first guest in wrestling was Jim the Anvil Neidhart. And through Jim Neidhart, I met Jimmy Hart, and Jimmy's one of my my closest friends in the industry today. But Jim Neidhart and Bret Hart, I always loved Jim Neidhart. I didn't know as much about the technical elements of professional wrestling back in the day, but when Jim Neidhart got tagged in, you knew that he was going to take control of the match. I always thought that was cool. I loved the
band.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That was a good one.
Now, were you a big Saturday night main event person?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
He's always had a way about him that I myself even liked. Sort of a very outgoing type of a person. He tells you like it is.
Yes.
You know?
You talk about Neidhart.
Uh-huh. He's always been
he's
outgoing.
Dead now, so he's not talking. Yeah, he's dead.
Huh?
He's not talking to anybody now. He's dead. He's not talking to anybody now, but he was.
Yeah.
I hated to hear
that when he died.
I did, too.
He was always one of my favorites.
Yep. All right, who was your favorite WCW tag team, Patty?
Didn't have one from that division that I actually liked that well, because they had, you know, several different ones, but as far as actually having a group from WCW, I really didn't have one that I favored.
Okay.
Most of the ones that I liked were with WWE, you know.
That- You're out there in Tennessee, right? What part of Tennessee are you in, Patty?
Over here in Mount Juliet now. I lived in Lebanon there for a few years, but I'm back over here in Mount Juliet now.
Now, we had earlier today, I had on Dr. Tom Pritchard, who was the former head trainer in WWE, and he's got a wrestling academy in Knoxville. How far is that from you, Patty?
Probably about 45 minutes to an hour, give or take.
All right.
Probably a little bit further.
You in the mood to train for professional wrestling?
Who, me?
You think you can do it? You think you can be a star?
I don't know right now because I've got, some health issues that would probably keep me from actually being able to get into it. Now, if I had been younger, I probably would.
Okay.
Because I had a chance back when I was younger, but I turned it down.
Okay.
Why?
Okay.
I don't know, but I turned it down.
All right.
But I could have gotten into it because I had family in it.
Do you have Twitter, Patty?
That's what makes... Huh?
Do you have Twitter?
No, I don't have Twitter now. I used to, but I just got tired of it and it was too much of a headache, so I kind of quit using Twitter.
Now, have you heard Rat Boy call into this show before?
Yeah. I talk to him, quite frequent on the phone.
You talk to Rat Boy on the phone? Wait a minute. Hold on. People are making connections off the air via my show?
Uh-huh. I've known him for over 5 years.
Oh, boy. Wow. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, great. I was going to ask if you were going to date him. I was going to send you his picture. I was going to hook you guys up, but forget it. Forget it. It's done. Listen, Patty, you caught me off guard. You caught me off guard.
He's a trip. He's a trip.
You're deep in the middle. He is a trip. You're deep in the middle of Smoky Mountain wrestling territory out in Tennessee.
Uh-huh.
Were you a Smoky Mountain fan back in the day when that was part of WWE developmental?
Yeah. And I always liked the one that the Von Erich boys are from.
A world class?
Because back then, I used to watch it on Saturday night from about 7 p.m. my time till midnight. And they had all the different divisions on Saturday nights back then, including the ones the Von Erich boys are in from Texas. Well, that's where they were doing theirs back then. And they had WCW that I've seen quite a bit of. And that was about the time that WWE was becoming well-known.
Uh-huh.
But back then, they called it WWF. And I had a cousin that used to wrestle a part, some of the guys from WWE back then. But he gave it up because he said he just kind of got tired of all the, beating that the body has to take when they're doing stuff like that.
Sure.
So he said it just got old and he wanted to get out of it and be at home with his family.
You get beaten too much and then you end up like Rat Boy. That's what happens.
Yeah.
Yeah, Patty, hang on. I want to do something because I have he's back, and I'm going to put you both on the air at the same time. I'm going to try to make a match here. Hold on for a second. Rat Boy, do I have you? Rat Boy?
Oh, man. Hey, Bruce, what did you say? Ever since that you left the DLC Nation, me and Patty hooked up, and we were talking on the phone for a long time.
Wait a minute. This could be our first. I haven't done a radio publicity stunt in quite a long time. So, hold on. What if I funded a trip to Tennessee and I had Rap Boy drive down? Could I get like maybe? Could I make a match? Maybe you guys could cohabitate. You could get married. It would be great.
marriage is out of the question for me.
Have you been married
before, I'm getting too old for that.
Put it this way, Bruce. It's a bang morning. Let's give it to him.
Wait, so you're Rap Boy, you're saying that if people, if the fans of this program, if we get enough tweets that want you and Patty to get together, you would be interested in giving Patty your hand in marriage. That's what you're saying?
But she with a dinner, a trip, and all, let's do it. If the fans want it, they want to see it on YouTube, we're going to give it to them.
Oh boy!
But they had to pay. But they had to pay $9.99 because it's going to be live action.
I don't know if I want to see that live action.
I can imagine seeing that as a stunt.
All right, Patty, thank you, Rap Boy. I appreciate it. Patty, listen, what else you got? What else you got before I run along? We're always buttoned up towards the end of the show when you come on. What else you got on your mind?
Nothing at this moment.
All right. I'm gonna put you to the side. I appreciate the call. I always love to hear from Patty. I got to get through this WCW list. We'll go through some tweets. We have Slast added, Professor Tanaka and Mr. Fuji. Now, that's weird because I would swear that they were a WWF tag team. I don't think they were in WCW, but they're at number 20. Jesse Jinkelheimer on Twitter says Ric Flair and Arn Anderson. They're number 22 on the list. Let's see. MWM says the Jung Dragons, number 39 on the list. So I'm going to run this WCW list from the top 25 down. Dick Slater and Bunkhouse Buck. Number 24 is Ricky Steamboat and Dustin Rhodes, the natural Dustin Rhodes. I think that tag team happened before the days of Gold Dust. Number 23, the Faces of Fear, as I said, Meng and the Barbarian. Maybe I didn't say that one. Number 22, Ric Flair and Arn Anderson. 21 is Raven and Perry Saturn. That was an Attitude Era tag team in WCW. Number 20, of course, Professor Tanaka and Mr. Fuji. Number 19, I thought these guys would be higher. It's Doom, Ron Simmons and Butch Reed. I was a big fan of Doom back in the day with Woman. They did such a good job generating heat. I thought Doom was going to be higher than that. Hulk Hogan and Macho Man at number 18. Again, that's Mega Powers resurfacing in WCW back in the day. The Blackjacks at 17. Sting and Lex Luger at 16. Rey Mysterio and Billy Kidman at 15. The Russians at number 14. That's Nikita Koloff and Barry Darso, whatever he called himself. Crusher Khrushchev, I think. It's funny how many people in wrestling try to play ethnicities that aren't that ethnicity. Did I say that right? So you had Boris Zhukov, the Russian that was from South Carolina, and famously Chief J. Strongbow, who was Italian. His name was Joe Scarpa, and he played a Native American. So go figure. Hollywood Blondes at number 13, Steve Austin and Brian Pillman. The Nasty Boys at number 12, Knobs and Sags. Here's the one that's a surprise. The Outsiders, number 11. They were a transformative tag team. They were part of the basically the resurgence or the 83 weeks era of WCW. They famously jumped out on Monday Nitro and changed the face of the wrestling world. So I'm surprised to see them that low. But this list never ceases to amaze me. The enforcers, Arn Anderson, Larry Zbyszko at 10. The Minnesota Wrecking Crew at number 9. That's Gene and Ole Anderson, not Arn. The Freebirds at number 8. The Road Warriors at number 7. As I said, Team Madness at number 6. That was Randy Savage and Sid Vicious. Maybe I didn't say that one, but that was a tweet that came in from Killiosaur. I think that's how you say it, Killiosaur on Twitter. Number 5, the Midnight Express of Bobby Eaton and Stan Lane. Number 4, the Rock and Roll Express. Now, I thought that might be a little higher than 4 because, you know, they had some great days back in the NWA/WCW. Harlem Heat, Stevie Ray and Booker T at number 3. Arn Anderson and Tully Blanchard at number 2. And the number 1 WCW tag team of all time, as voted by the fans, is the Steiner Brothers, Rick and Scott. And they had such great, great matches in WCW. And Scott Steiner, to me, now listen, I'm not Dave Meltzer. I'm not the Japanese wrestling historian. I don't know a bunch of Mexican wrestling either. But the Hurricane Rana, the first time that I've ever seen it done in American professional wrestling was by Scott Steiner. And I it was called the Frankensteiner for a long time. And I think it was called the Frankensteiner even when other people did it for a while. And now it's called the Hurricane Rana, and you see it all the time. But that was one of the things that made me want to watch Steiner Brothers matches was I love that move. I always thought it was just an amazing feat of athleticism, especially when he did it from the top rope. So Steiner Brothers at number 1, I'm in agreement there. I think to me it would be Steiner Brothers at 1, the Road Warriors either 2 or 3, and then Harlem Heat in any order. I think those three tag teams were just awesome. Doom definitely would be in the top 5 for me, as well as the Outsiders. So that's your WCW list, and we've completed the top tag teams of all time. Listen, this weekend coming up is The Gathering. Go to teamartpromotions.com if you haven't done that yet. Team Art's been very kind to the show in being a sponsor over the last couple of weeks. We had Ken Resnick on to talk about his appearance at The Gathering. So I'm excited. It's starting tomorrow through the 18th down at Hilton Charlotte University in Charlotte, North Carolina. Again, get your last-minute tickets at teamartpromotions.com. I think the dinner is sold out, but just an awesome super ticket. Ken Resnick, Gary Michael Capetta, Carlos Colon, Larry Zbyszko, all of the Midnight Express members, Lex Luger, Ricky Steamboat, the genius Lanny Poffo, just a great, great card. Shane Douglas, Barry Windham, Ricky Santana. I'm going to look at the vendor guests real quick if I have a second. Kurt Angle is going to be there as well. Kurt Angle making an appearance at The Gathering. And you have your chance to meet him, $35 for an autograph and a photo op, $60 for a combo. Looking at some of the other vendor guests, Mass Superstar is going to be there. I believe Mass Superstar was also Acts of Demolition, if I'm not mistaken. Tommy Dreamer, The Berserker, Rocky King, White Lightning, Tim Horner, Big Sean Studd. I think that's the offspring of Big John Studd. Go to teamartpromotions.com for your Gathering tickets. That's it for this week, folks. We're out of time. Thanks to Dr. Tom Pritchard for hanging out with us for a little while. Thanks to the callers that made it on. Apologize if I didn't get to you. We had some people that dropped off the board while I was messing around with some of the other callers and talking to Dr. Tom. Remember, if you're listening live, check out the podcast for anything you missed. Check out shows of the past. Get the podcast, rate and review us, Apple iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts every week. So that's it. We'll talk to you next week right here, VOC Nation Wrestling with History Worldwide in the VOC Nation Radio Network.
Worldwide leader in entertainment. This is the VOC Nation Radio Network.
Joey Stubbs. What's going on, Joey?
You know, for somebody who makes his living on radio, you have a hard time stringing together words. You all right?
I was trying to make a point. I'm using football as a soliloquy.
You know, you really have a way with words.
Rat Boy didn't even want to call in last week.
you weren't here, so.
And the very first person that was ever in the ring was an amateur, is Andy Kaufman.
Andy Kaufman was not an NCAA
champion. Oh, my God. I am heartbroken. I don't know why you're laughing.
Albert, you're a freeloader.
It's buzz around the world. Twitter blew up. Facebook blew up.
It's the mouth of the South, Jimmy Hart. What's going on, Jimmy?
Well, you never know. Telephone, telegraph, and tell the mouth of the South, Jimmy Hart, we're full of all kind of surprises.
This is the Honky Tonk Man, the greatest intercontinental champion of all time in the WWE, and you're listening to VOC Nation.
You know why you don't want me on your radio show? Because you know the ratings will go through the roof, you'd make a lot of money, and that way you keep me off, that way you will stay always broken.